Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Talking to U.S. Representative Mike Quigley, the Democrat from Illinois' 5th, who, producer Pete tells me, was at that memorable All-Star game at the stadium when Wayne Mesmer sang the national anthem. You were there, huh?
I was a season ticket holder, 5th row, 2nd balcony. And the truth is that, you know, the crowd usually stood and cheered during the national anthem, unlike some places. But that day it was, you know, that effort on steroids, very special. And, you know, we were aware that in the days that followed that the video of that was shown to our troops.
Oh.
Which a very powerful moment.
You were a member of Congress then?
No, I was. I wasn't elected to anything at that point in time. I wasn't elected. I've been elected now 24 years, so that predates it. But my first Blackhawk game, way before that, 1968, and some of the good old days, in a much better place to watch hockey, the Chicago Stadium.
Okay.
It was loud. The building was part of it. The overhanging balconies, you had a great view of the ice.
That's true. I remember. I've been to games there then, but I think we're also captured by the presentation the Blackhawks do. I mean, you don't mind the United Center setup, do you?
I like what they do for the anthem. The Tribune architectural critic did a great article saying the old stadiums were more democratic. Even if you couldn't afford a lot, you still had a damn good view up in the second balcony.
Oh.
And with the boxes and all, it's not just the United Center. With the boxes, it pushes everybody back. So you're much farther away with the same type seat than you used to be with all modern stadiums. And that's a shame.
Blair Kamen would notice something like that. That's an interesting observation.
Blair was awesome about it.
Let's talk a little bit about the Treasury. I'll just tell you what Janet Yellen said today. She said, we will go to extraordinary measures now to make sure that at least until June 5th, we don't default on our obligations. But that means the U.S. will temporarily cease funding certain programs that they should be. I guess we'll try and make that up on the other end. But can you give me sort of a scorecard of where we are on our obligation?
Sure. We have been here before, and that is using extraordinary measures. And Secretary Yellen said it's uncertain, but we'll probably be okay till the first part of June. It's not the way to run a railroad. It's the equivalent of a household saying, well, we have a lot of debt. Let's not pay our mortgage. These are obligations. And as President Reagan said, the full consequences of default or the prospect of the default by the U.S. is impossible to predict and awesome to contemplate. He was right. Where we are, you know, we go back this week and we'll have these discussions. There are majority of the Republicans I work with, I think, could sort this out.
Yeah.
I think what you're going to see is the continuation of what Speaker McCarthy faced getting the final votes. And if he's relying on the extreme far right to get this deal, we're in trouble. It, you know, Mark Kirk said to me the first day I was in Congress, everything we do that gets done in the middle. Hopefully that's where we'll be with this, and we can go on to normal business. But this, paying your debts that are already obligated should not be an issue.
But that pressure by the Freedom Caucus, those famous now 20 members of Congress, maybe do change the game. Do you think that, and while we have all been here before, I think this is a story that pops up in the news every couple of years and people don't get that animated because we don't default, we don't throw markets into chaos, the world still spins on its axis. Do you think that this time it's different or will we get this resolved?
I think whenever I'm asked, is this different? I do think the world is different. I never would have contemplated that there'd be an assault on our nation's capital, the first since, you know, the British did it, and that many of the things that have taken place in the last few years have happened, and it's a sort of a new normal that's unsettling, and it's disturbing. And this is just because we never have defaulted doesn't mean we can't create problems. And remember, Reagan was saying that the prospect of default, that means it costs more potentially for us to borrow, and that costs every taxpayer. So, look, there's room to address this. You remember Simpson-Bowles Commission. That was in 2010, bipartisan, bicameral effort to address this. And they put together a plan for the first time to really look at how do we get the debt and deficit down.
But is the ball also in the Democrats' court? I mean, President Biden has said that this is non-negotiable. And in theory, what these Republicans are asking for is reductions in spending. That seems to be a reasonable ask, isn't it?
It is. But the point of Simpson-Bowles was you don't do it with the sword of Damocles over you. And second, it has to be big, balanced, bipartisan, bicameral. It's a plan that Simpson-Bowles contemplated, that commission, for a 10-year period and then a 20-year period. And it took revenues and expenditures into account. You know, what they're talking about is really such a small portion of our budget, non-defense discretionary. That's the dog's tail. You can't get enough cuts there to make a difference. I'm saying, hey, I voted for Simpson-Bowles when it came to the House. One of a whopping 38 that did. I'll meet you there, but not under these circumstances. You want to talk about long-term deficit reduction? Let's do it the right way with some real thought, bipartisan. Everything has to be on the table. But if it's just this and you're saying we're only going to cut that, you know, we're not there. And the final point is that when you cut taxes, for whatever purpose is here, you're going to have greater deficits. And I think most economists agree that the tax cuts that took place under Trump created the third largest deficit increase of any president. So if we're serious about this, both sides have to be, and the Republicans have not been good stewards on their side as well of addressing this from both sides.
Congressman Mike Quigley, I hope you and your colleagues get it settled. Find those Republicans in the middle and those Democrats willing to talk to them, too. He's a Democrat from Illinois' 5th, and he was in the stadium when Mesmer sang that mesmerizing version of the national anthem. It's nice to talk to you, Congressman.
As always, thank you.